Welcome you to worship on this day of Pentecost, worship for Calvary Lutheran Church for May 31st, 2020. Pentecost is traditionally seen as the birthday of the church. It is a festival day which we celebrate. Many of our members who are going to be worshiping on site will be wearing red. If you are listening to this podcast and you are at home, you might think of donning something red at some point in the day as a signification of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which came to the disciples as tongues of fire on that day in Jerusalem, 50 days after the resurrection of our Lord. By way of other announcements, we commend to you one final time our mission of the month, which is the North American Lutheran Church Disaster Response. There are a number of backpacks with suggested lists of school items that are available in the entry of the church, even if you are choosing not to come to worship on site with us. We do invite you to come by and pick up a backpack. You'll see them clearly laid out on the table there for you, and those can be returned to our church until about the middle of June, when they will be gathered up and sent off to the warehouse of the NALC Disaster Response in Ohio. We also call your attention to the announcement in your Calvary Connections this week regarding the possibility of extending communion to those of you who worship from home. We would love to do this, and our home visitation team, led by Judy DeBruin, is eager to accommodate that. We are going to be making preparations to begin that distribution starting next Sunday, the 7th of June, and possibly into the early part of the week. And so if you would like to be considered for someone, be considered to have the consecrated elements dropped off to you, please call us in the church office or send us an email, and we will make sure and put you on the list for that distribution. You can receive on a weekly basis if you want to, or less often if you choose. The decision is entirely yours. We begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We now take a few moments for silent reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
In In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid crown. Come through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand. Alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stay.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray.
God of life, on this day you poured forth upon your church your Spirit, through whom we are one body, the body of Christ. Unite us at your table, that we may be poured forth into the world, bearing witness to your grace and mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 7th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to later receive. Up to that time the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Hey friends, Mr. Kyle here. Names have power. Think about your name. Do you know what your name means, or why your parents gave it to you? Do you have a nickname that people call you by? Names are a gift given to us so that we know who we are, and so that other people know who we are, and can know us and call on us for help. Names have power. We sign them to legal documents, making binding agreements. If your name is on a present, you know it's for you. A name at the bottom of a letter or a card or attached to a gift can make that letter, card, or gift even more meaningful to us when it tells us who it is from. It can also make us sad and hurt our feelings when someone forgets our name. We can be embarrassed when we forget someone else's name. And it can also be scary if our parents call us by our full names, because then we know we're in real trouble. God's name is no different. It, too, has power. The power of a promise only God can make. In our Bible reading from the book of Acts, Peter quotes from another part of the Bible, the Old Testament book of Joel. He says, Everyone that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Only God's name has the power to save us. And God gives us his name in baptism. We have been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God has also given us his name so we can call on him in every time of trouble and use it to call upon him as we pray to him, praise him, and give him thanks. So let's call on his name in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your name so that we can call on you and be saved from our sin. Amen.
On October 8th, 1956, 12-year-old Laith Anderson boarded a subway from his house in Bloomfield, New Jersey, for the Bronx, New York, along with his dad, who'd scooped up a couple of tickets for that afternoon's baseball game between their beloved Brooklyn Dodgers and the Yankees. He was excited, since a win would mean his team would have a chance to the next day to claim the World Series title for the second straight year. In a conversation he had some years later with a man who he described as a walking baseball almanac, Laith described his disappointment about that day in October of 1956, that at the very first big league game he'd ever attended, not only did his team lose, not a single Dodger player got on base. The man said, You were there? You were at the only perfect game ever pitched in a World Series? Yeah, Mr. Anderson deadpanned. But, we lost. Only then did he realize that he had been so caught up in his team's defeat that he missed the fact he was a witness to baseball history. How often does that happen to us? We get so caught up in the negative, in the defeats and challenges in our lives, that we miss what God is doing through them, even aiding us to overcome them and be better in the wake of them. In our story today from Acts, it's clear many people missed what was going on. The disciples' reaction to their being filled with the Holy Spirit, as Jesus had promised them only 10 days earlier, isn't recorded. Clearly, Peter seized the moment and preached, if not a perfect sermon, one that was pretty darn close. What is recorded is the reaction of many of the Jews in Jerusalem, some assuming the disciples were drunk, others, amazed but perplexed, simply wondered aloud, "What does this mean?" They had no idea, evidently, that history was being made in their presence. We mark again this day an event in history not seen before or since. Last week, it was the ascension of our Lord. This week, the return of our Lord on Pentecost in the person of the Holy Spirit. And amazingly, many still wonder, what does it mean? What could it possibly mean to have God indwell us? To be people for whom it can truly be said, as Jesus himself said in John 17, verse 23, "I in them, and you in me. Father, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me." You are, if you are a baptized Christian, a Spirit-filled person. You have the forgiving, sanctifying Holy Spirit in you. What does this mean? For Peter, it meant that a guy who only weeks earlier could do little more than mumble convenient denials that he even knew Jesus, so as to protect himself, could preach Jesus crucified and risen with conviction and power of the sort he would have scarcely imagined possible. It meant that Peter, through the Holy Spirit, could latch on to an obscure passage from the Old Testament prophet Joel about what God would do in the last days of history, bringing the Jewish people to Jerusalem, all of them, making them loom large over their enemies and prep them for a blessed everlasting rule in what they called the Messianic Kingdom of God. By quoting Joel, Peter said this kingdom, had arrived. In it, God would give young men visions, old men dreams, women would join them in speaking on God's behalf, wonders and signs would testify to its presence. In our lesson, those signs and wonders sound ominous, not welcoming. But there's a reason for that. The judgment of God was often portrayed in the Bible with images of fire. Think Sodom and Gomorrah, for example. And in the temple in Jerusalem, when on its altars animal sacrifices for the sins of the Jewish people were consumed, blood, fire, and billows of smoke were an almost daily occurrence. So the story sounds like one of judgment. And, as a matter of first importance, our sin is confronted by the Holy Spirit. The conscience that nags you, reminds you how touchy and petty you can be and prods you to change, is proof that the Holy Spirit is at work in you, pointing you to Jesus, your forgiver. But what else does Pentecost mean? The signs of the times right now are ominous too. I think we'd all agree with that. No one really welcomes this. Unless you're a vaccine maker, I suppose. Pentecost's story has often been associated with the last book of the Bible, Revelation. There, all sorts of signs are offered about the coming of the Lord in judgment, including illnesses and plagues that come upon people. Most of them are scary. But Revelation is also a very hopeful book. Time and again, it speaks of the faith of the church, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and demonstrates how the church and its people press on, overcome, and prove that God is not a remote, distant deity, but a personal and engaged God. The book of Revelation is a testament to the Holy Spirit like no other. When in it the suffering of people is described, whether for their faith in Christ or simply by virtue of the fallen nature of our world, it is God through the Holy Spirit and the church that healing comes. In a pandemic like the one we're in now, suffering is indiscriminate. But we know suffering also picks some targets with more ferocity. We know that anyone's lungs can get infected at any moment, but we know that old lungs and illness-weakened lungs, which are often also the lungs of the poor, particularly in our cities, and particularly among African Americans, are a principal target. Now, we are hearing about a second wave of suffering, even as the first seems to have energy left. This second is aiming at people who suffer with addictions and people who live with mental illness. Isolation and loss of income weigh harder on some minds than others, and the much dreaded spikes of this pandemic are now occurring in the form of overdoses and suicides, often one and the same. They are fearful signs, not welcome ones. The prophesying, the speaking on God's behalf that this year's Pentecost calls forth, may be to cross those cultural, economic, and racial lines between the healthy and the sick, the wealthy and the poor, and bring Jesus' prayed-for unity of the Father and the Son and the Church, into full view. The church is not perfect. You and I, as Luther says, sin every day and deserve nothing but punishment. But the church and its people have the Holy Spirit, the forgiver and sanctifier, and if Pentecost means anything, it means that dreams and visions are part of our giftedness and pursuing them expected of us. If you have the means, I urge you to release the love Jesus prayed his church would know and show, that in your gratitude for your health or your wealth, you might bring about someone else's sickness and need being cured. What a sign and a wonder to the world if the church spoke like that with a unified voice. How many people might listen to our message of salvation in Jesus through the forgiveness of sins in his name if we first spoke a language of compassion and sacrificial love like that? As I was preparing this message, I thought about how wonderful it would be if God would send another Pentecost to us. Then it dawned on me, the Holy Spirit is saying even now, I'm ready when you are. Go right ahead. I'll be with you and empower you every step of the way. It may interest you to know, it did me anyway, that the man responsible for the only World Series perfect game in baseball history, that disappointing loss a young Leith Anderson described, was a kid from Michigan City, Indiana, named Don Larson, who was anything but a perfect pitcher for most of his 14-year career. In fact, his numbers were pretty mediocre. He lost more games than he won. He was traded 11 times and walked almost as many batters as he struck out. But when he died on January 1st of this year at the age of 90, the stories poured in from people who claimed to have seen or listened to that perfect game of his, describing it as one of their most cherished, vivid memories. I know it is a lofty vision I'm presenting you today. You might think I'm dreaming if I think the church could have an effect on the world like I've just described. But if you're going to dream, Pentecost seems like the time to do it. because Pentecost presents a vision of the church that can bring the world to Christ and Christ to the world, that the Spirit would so embolden us again, let us ever pray. Amen.
O Holy Spirit, O one who was there to witness in anger that God didn't spare, a verdict both just and unfair. O Holy Spirit, O one who was there, you saw on his face all the judgment of hell. My story of blame that I cannot untell. All the judgment of hell. Come witness this gospel to me. Remembrancer, this is my plea. Preach Christ till he's all that I see. Come witness this gospel to me. You saw in his dying the death of my sin. The Son's bleeding body I'm hidden therein, where all of my poison he drank deep within. You saw in his dying the death of my sin. Come witness this gospel to me. Remembrancer, this is my plea. Preach Christ till he's all that I see. Come witness this gospel to me. Grace that is forever free. There's no condemnation nor wrath left for me. I hear it is finished from Calvary's tree. You're preaching a grace that is forever free. This gospel to me, remembrancer, cause me to see that Christ is my one victory. Now witness this gospel to me. You witness this gospel to me. Forgiveness eternal. Your child I will be. You witness this gospel to me. O Spirit, the truth I now see. O witness this gospel to me.
Let us profess the faith of the Church with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, stir up your Spirit in all the baptized. Deliver us from the desire to quench our thirst from any other, and well up in our souls the rivers of living water which you promise. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant to your church, O Lord, the wisdom which comes down from heaven, that your word may not be bound, but preached and received with joy. Touch our hearts with the fire of your Spirit, that we may serve you in steadfast faith, and in the confession of your name, abide to the end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Empower us, just as you did Peter, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, so that others might come to have life in his name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Keep our nation under your care. May true justice and true peace reign. May the brightness of your love shine in the darkness where injustice and instability hold sway, and grant that our hatreds and divisions might cease by the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Give wisdom and courage to all governing officials, and also to ministers of the gospel who are seeking to bring Christ's presence to bear upon the current unrest. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit has inspired ordinary people to become the saints, martyrs, teachers, and missionaries of the Church. Inspire us by the great cloud of witnesses who surround us, that we may yield ourselves to the gracious rule of your Spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My own merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale,
My anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood sustains me in the raging flood. When all supports are washed away, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Hope in his righteousness alone, redeemed to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.